Today on Rocking the Suburbs.
My wife would kill me if I got this question. She is the number one fan of a genre called...
All right, Patrick, here on Rockin' the Suburbs, I'm Jim Lenihan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
We are going to do something special this week. We are going to do Music Trivia Week.
Yay.
All right. That was so much excitement. So to the listeners, here's how this is going to work. You're going to hear through this week five different contestants. Each will be competing individually. So Monday through Friday, you'll have five different people. At the end of the week, whoever has the top score is the champion of Music Trivia Week on Rock in the Suburbs. And let me explain real quickly. Well, first let me introduce today's contestant. You have Mr. Bud Verge. Hello, Bud.
Hi, everyone. How are you this morning?
Very good, Bud. On the Verge Records in the house to start us off. So we're going top shelf right away.
I'm either
going
to set a high bar or a very low.
All right, so this is all in good fun. This is not meant to embarrass anyone. Let's just have a good time this week.
That's right.
We tried to make the questions about medium difficulty, but, you know, it's impossible to tell, really, until we start asking the questions and people start answering and getting them right or wrong. So, Bud, here's the format. There will be five categories, five questions per category, okay? The categories are decades, so we're going to go 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, all right? You will get the same five questions per category as every other contestant this week. So it's really a fair test of music trivia knowledge, okay? There's one twist, though. You do get the option at the end of each round to pick five bonus questions for that decade, okay? But you can only use this once. And you cannot go back either. So if you pass on a category, so you pass on the 50s, you can't then say later on, I want to go back and answer five more 50s questions. All right. So at the end of each one, you have the chance to decide if you want the five bonus questions in that round. Does that make sense?
Each decade is locked after I don't pick up the option.
That is right.
Correct.
That is right. Okay. Now, Patrick will be keeping score.
Yes, I will, with my pencil.
Yep. And he'll also be the judge and arbiter, right? So if there's any ambiguity at all, he's going to decide what is correct answer and what is incorrect.
Which I think, fortunately, shouldn't be too much of an issue because these questions are pretty clearly marked out.
Okay. Now, also, Bud, you have to make a promise here. You won't do any web searching or anything like that during the course of this. Okay.
Hands free.
Hands up all the time.
And then at the end of the week, the winner will receive a prize and also much respect. Do we have a prize, Patrick? I have one option here. What do you have?
Yeah, I've got a couple things vinyl-wise. I'm not sure if that applies to Bud. But
all right, so we'll have some stuff, and you can pick from the prize package if you win.
I've got two vinyl records that can be part of the prize.
All right, very good. All right, so are we ready to start?
Let's go. I feel like we need a theme song or something.
Well, I think we'll put that in. All right, here we go. Music trivia time. We're going to start with the 1950s.
Dun, dun, dun.
Question number one, Bud Verge. What is Little Richard's last name?
I don't know. Richards.
All right. The answer is Penniman.
Penniman.
Okay. Number two, in the song Summertime Blues, what international institution does Eddie Cochran propose to seek help? Summertime Blues.
Called their congressman. Called the congressman. The Congress.
What'd you say, congressman?
Congress, yeah. Call your congressman.
Patrick?
Close. The answer is the United Nations.
Ooh.
Yes. I think the key in there was international in that question.
Yes.
Yes. You were on the right track, definitely. There is a part of
the song. Well, you know, I'm still kind of coming up off that, you know, Saturday night, Sunday morning, you know, come down. There have been some relaxation substances last night to help, you know, get some sleep.
So that's okay. That's okay.
Things are a little, you know, dusty there in the back corners.
That one might have been a little tougher than I thought. Okay. All right, here we go. This 1959 Chuck Berry song was later covered by Linda Ronstadt, the MC5, and Jonathan Richman and the Modern Lovers. What is that song?
Back in the USA?
Bang.
All right, we got one. All right, Bud is on the board.
Well done.
Question four in the 50s. The day the music died, February 3rd, 1959... victims of that plane crash were Buddy Holly, Ritchie Valens, and the Big Bopper. What was the Big Bopper's signature hit song?
Chantilly Lace.
Yes.
All right, there we go. That is correct. Okay, and the fifth question in the 50s. Take Five by the Dave Brubeck Quartet, first released in 1959, went on to become the biggest selling jazz single of all time. It is famous for its odd time signature. What is that time signature?
5/4.
Bang! Pulls it right out of the bag. Beautiful, Bud.
All right. So what's our score after the first round, Patrick?
That is 3 out of 5 for Bud. Okay. So after a little bit of a slow start there, he really came back.
He rallied.
Impressive. All right.
And I think for most contestants, the 50s might be the toughest one.
I would think so.
Mm-hmm. You know. Okay, so we're going to move on to the 1960s.
Unless you want a bonus round on the 50s.
Oh, that's right. Do you want the bonus round on the 50s? No bonus. I'm sorry.
I didn't think Bud was going to go for that. Yeah,
I wasn't alive back then.
Okay.
I don't think anyone's going to go for the 50s bonus round. All right.
Okay, so we'll move on to the 1960s. Question one. What famous singer wrote the Monkees song, I'm a Believer?
Neil Diamond.
Yes. Correct.
Very good. All right, question two. Considered a pioneering female rock musician, who was the drummer for the Velvet Underground through their 1960s recording career?
Bo Tucker.
Correct.
Very good. Question three. In the early 60s, a Columbia Records talent scout signed a singer who, for a time, was referred to at the label as Hammond's Folly. Who was that singer?
Bob Dylan?
Correct, Bud. You're on a roll here.
Very good. Question four. In 1960, Frank Sinatra left Capitol Records and founded his own label. What was that label?
Reprise.
Correct.
Correct.
And I had four different labels based upon what genre of music they were putting out.
Oh, wow.
We got the record store owner on that one. That was right up his alley.
Okay, and question five in the 60s. This 1966 Beatles track on the album Revolver is notable as the first in which none of the instruments were played by John, Paul, George, or Ringo. What is that song? Nothing?
Nothing.
All right. What was that song, Patrick?
That song is Eleanor Rigby, because there's a string octet playing on that song.
There you go. Okay.
4 out of 5, though. That's impressive.
Okay, so what's he up to now?
At all total, Bud has 7 out of 10.
All right.
It's very impressive.
Almost a passing grade.
Would you like the 60s bonus questions?
No, sir.
No. Okay. Move on to the 70s?
See.
Okay.
I thought he might go for the 60s. He was doing really well.
Yeah, he was. All right, how you feeling, Bud?
I'm feeling good.
Okay, good.
Brain's starting to fire up again.
All right, good.
There you go.
All right, 1970s, question number one. Eric Clapton's fifth solo album, released in 1977, was titled after his nickname. What was that album?
Slow Hand.
Correct, Bud. Correct.
Very good.
Other people had different nicknames for Clapton, but it wasn't that one.
Okay, question two. In 1977, Linda Ronstadt scored a platinum single with her cover of what Roy Orbison song?
Blue Bayou.
Correct.
Very good. Okay, question number three. Seymour Stein signed punk and new wave groups The Ramones, Talking Heads, and Pretenders to his label in the mid and late 70s. What was the name of that influential record label?
That is Sire Records.
And that is correct.
Very good.
Yes, absolutely. The record label owner comes through again.
Record store owner.
Record store owner, sorry. But hasn't, well, he hadn't started his own label yet, but.
Yet.
We're expecting that.
All right, question number four from the 70s. Michael Jackson's first number one solo hit was 1972's Ben. Who was Ben?
Ben was a mouse, rat, rodent type kind of thing.
Can you repeat your answer, bud? What was Ben?
Ben was like a mouse or a rat or a rodent. In that kind of family of things you don't want running around your house.
I'll go ahead and give Bud that one. I think that's correct. Yes, rat is the answer we were looking for. But yes, that captures the general spirit of the question. Yeah. He was not a gerbil.
The song was actually from a horror movie.
Oh, really?
About a killer rat named Ben. It was the sequel to the film Willard, which was also about a killer rat. Yes, there you go. Okay, question number five in the 70s. Radio personality Rick Dees had a novelty hit song in 1977. What was that song?
He was the Disco Duck.
There it is. Yes, he was the Disco Duck.
Did he sweep the 70s
here?
He
swept the 70s, bud. You got 5 out of 5 in the 70s. I wonder if that means he's going to take on the bonus round for the 70s. No.
No.
Okay, he's gonna ride.
You're going to skip. Okay, so what are we up to now, Patrick?
Let's see. Out of the 15 questions so far, Bud has only missed 3 of those 15 questions. So that's 12 out of 15.
Wow, very good.
Very impressive.
All right, we're going to move on to the 80s. This, I would think, would be in Bud's wheelhouse now. He's feeling good.
I'm either going to do fantastic here or horribly. All right. That's the verge luck.
All right. Let's see, 1980s, question one. The Dutch band Golden Earring had a U.S. top 40 hit in 1973 with Radar Love, then didn't chart again until 1982 with what song?
Twilight Zone.
Correct, bud. Excellent.
Good job.
Radar Love was a number 13 hit, while Twilight Zone went to number 10. It's actually the bigger song.
Yeah. I had a friend who once joked they were the only band to be a one-hit wonder twice.
That's absolutely right.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, question number two in the 1980s. Although Janet Jackson had recorded 2 previous albums, she did not become a star until teaming up with new producers for 1986's album Control. Who were those producers?
Just a couple of sidemen from the time, Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis.
Correct, sir. I wish we could give you bonus points for tossing in the time there, but we cannot do that. But that is correct.
I'll take all the points I can get.
Good job.
You're doing very well.
All right. Question three. What song includes this lyric? In the midnight hour, I can feel your power.
Just like a prayer, I want to take you there.
Beautiful. Well done, sir. Well done.
Good
no
job.
No bonuses for singing it, but yes. Correct.
Well, I had to sing the clue.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, question four. Sheena Easton had a hit song in 1984 called Sugar Walls. What other pop star wrote the song under the pseudonym Alexander Nevermind?
I think he likes to wear purple, so I think the name is Prince.
That is correct, sir.
He gave away a lot of darn good songs, didn't he?
He did. He wrote a lot of songs for other people. Yep.
Absolutely. Okay, and question five in the 80s. The charity single Do They Know It's Christmas by Band-Aid was released in December 1984. Who sings the opening line of that song?
Going for a sweep in the 80s now.
Who sings the opening line of Band-Aid? I don't even remember what the opening line is. I know USA for Africa is somebody else. Bob Geldof.
That is not correct.
I know.
Unfortunately. This is a tricky one. The answer is actually Paul Young. If everybody remembers Paul Young. briefly from the 80s. Nevertheless, that's 4 out of 5 in the 80s category.
I believe the opening line literally is just, it's Christmas time.
I think it's Christmas time.
Yeah.
Yep. That's right.
Let's go bonus on the 80s.
Okay. Where are we right now, Patrick?
That was another very well done round by Bud. So we have 16 points out of a possible 20 at this point.
All right. Okay. So 5 bonus 80s questions.
Pressure's on.
Now, we did tell you that you're penalized 5 points for everyone you missed. No, I'm just kidding. That's not true.
0, here I come.
Okay. The first bonus question in the 80s. Name one, just one, of the 5 labels for which indie band Sonic Youth recorded studio albums in the 1980s.
Geffen.
That is not correct. We were looking for the indie labels.
Pardon?
1980s.
They didn't sign to Geffen until the 90s. Neutral, Blast First, Homestead, SST, or Enigma?
Geffen was in the 1990s.
It was.
That's right.
Second bonus question. After David Lee Roth left Van Halen in 1985, he formed a backing band for his first solo album and tour that included what guitar virtuoso?
Satriani?
Ooh, close. Very, very close. Steve Vai is the answer, yes. That's very close, though.
Okay.
Bonus questions are harder.
We tried to make them harder.
A little bit more difficult, yep.
It should be worth double points.
Well, what's double of 0?
0.
okay, all right, here we go.
All right, I need this one.
Third bonus question. Just after midnight on August 1st, 1981, MTV debuted with the Buggles' Video Killed the Radio Star. What artist was featured in the second video played on the network?
Rod Stewart?
Close, but the answer is Pat Benatar, another pretty popular singer. Yeah, definitely from the 80s.
That's a good guess, Rod Stewart, because I think he had a number of videos that first day.
He did, yep.
But no, it was Pat Benatar with Run was the song. Okay. Bonus question number 4. After the death of Dee Boone, the surviving members of the Minutemen teamed up with Ed Crawford to form Firehose. What was Crawford's stage name?
Ed from Ohio.
Yes, correct, Bud. Comes through. A question close to my heart.
And then the last bonus question in the 80s. What is the name of the subgenre that emerged in the late 80s, a fusion of hip-hop and R&B popularized by artists including Keith Sweat, Rex and Effect, and Bobby Brown?
My wife would kill me if I got this question. She is the number one fan of a genre called New Jack Swing.
Correct. Ding, ding, ding. Beautifully done.
Thanks for the bonus.
Shout out to Terry Verge there. All right. Picked up 2 in the bonus round.
He picked up two bonus points?
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
Which puts him at, what did you say? So now he's at 18?
That is correct. 18.
Okay. 18, heading into the last 5 questions now, the 1990s. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's dive in here.
I think Bud is setting a high bar here. It's a very impressive score.
This will be interesting to see how the week goes on. Okay.
Very interesting.
Question 1 in the 90s. What album released in 1992 is the best-selling movie soundtrack of all time?
Bodyguard.
Correct, Bud. It is The Bodyguard, starring Whitney Houston and Kevin Costner. And I learned something very interesting recently that I'll just tell the listeners. Nick Lowe, the second half of his career was essentially financed because he had a little bit of peace, love, and understanding in The Bodyguard soundtrack. So.
It sold something like 45 million copies.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
Okay. 90s question number 2. What 1999 hit single by Cher is considered the first to use auto-tune to achieve a deliberate vocal effect?
If I could turn back time?
It is Believe. Yep. You were right. Yep. Although, most of the time when you're doing quizzes, I always say go with your first instinct, but that's a good guess.
I was just caught up with the ship and the dress. And you know.
That's right.
I wasn't going to, like, you know, gypsy ethereal Cher.
or a sheriff song I could think of, that would be my answer.
All right, so that was a miss, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, all right.
Big swing and a miss.
19. All
right. 90s question number three. On their MTV Unplugged concert, Nirvana was joined by two members of what other band and played three of their songs? What other band? Two members of another band joined them on stage.
Meat Puppets?
Correct. Yes. My favorite question in the whole quiz. And you nailed it.
I'm trying to think like what band were like Pat Smear and the girl who played the cello in, and I couldn't.
Yeah. It was definitely the Meat Puppets. And I think that's the concert where Kurt Kirkwood was playing the Buck Owens guitar. Remember, he had the red, white, and blue guitar that was just like Buck Owens from Hee-Haw?
I thought you were going to ask me about the time that like LL Cool J was on Unplugged and he had deodorant on, so he had like the one fit. He did. And Mama said, knock you out.
All right, question four.
Refer to that in our house as LL Cool J-ing it.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, so Bud got that one correct. Meat Puppets.
Two questions remaining.
Question four. In 1992, Mary Chapin Carpenter scored a hit country single with Passionate Kisses. What alt-country star wrote and originally recorded that song?
Lucinda Williams.
Correct. Well done, Bud. Very well done.
Very good.
Puts Bud at 20.
That puts him at 20 right there? Mm-hmm. All right, one more question to go. What song includes the lyrics, I'm going to take this itty-bitty world by storm, and I'm just getting warm?
King Missile, detachable penis.
Dude, you're going to kick yourself.
This is too funny, actually. I'm sorry, Bud, but it's Mama Said Knock You Out. Which you just referenced without being asked. That's too funny. Props for King Missile, though.
Yeah, it was good.
I actually added incorrectly. Bud has a total of 21 points.
All right, he finished with 21. How about that, Bud?
Very, very
well
done.
21.
21, man.
21 out of 30 is impressive, yes. Very impressive. I think that's a high bar that's been set.
Very good job, Bud. And
thanks. It was fun.
To the listeners, you're going to hear these same questions over and over, but you're going to hear perhaps different responses
for the rest
of the week.
And hopefully for listeners that listen all week, you won't miss any of these at your next trivia, pub trivia night. So you'll be getting all these right.
That's right. All right. Thanks very much, Bud.
And, thanks, guys.
Everybody, you're going to want to tune in tomorrow to see how our next contestant fares here on Rockin' the Suburbs Music Trivia. I'm Jim Lenihan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
With us has been Bud Verge.
Thank you.
And Bud, sorry, you're going to have to wait till the end of the week to find out if you are the champion. All right. And with that, we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
What's the lyric again?
It's, I'm going to take this itty bitty world by storm, and I'm just getting warm.
Yeah, I hear it now. I'm going to knock you out.
There it is.